Welcome into the Allstate Skyline Studio, Bob Reeder. He's the president of the Chicago Federation of Labor. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Super into it. Sunday morning.
Well, but hey, enjoy the sunshine for, you know, that brief moment that we're going to see it, maybe.
Yeah, it was pretty rainy coming in today. You know, it's what season are we in?
Yeah, exactly. It's the calendar says summer, as I said.
Yeah.
Well, it's always political season, and in Chicago, and here we have a new mayor, a new city council, but still kind of some unresolved issues on the labor front. One thing, obviously, is the workplace scheduling issue. And I'm kind of wondering if you could explain that issue and also where are we as far as that in the council?
First, let me just say that, you know, getting this workplace scheduling, predictive scheduling, the Fair Work Week ordinance passes probably be one of the most significant things that we're going to be able to do for low-wage workers in this city through, you know, my time working with the city council. There's other important things we've done, earned sick leave, you know, we're moving the minimum wage up. Sort of this is like the triple crown of being elevating workers' issues, you know, to the forefront. So we got close to passing this back with the last city council. This city council was custom built to get this thing done. You've probably seen Mayor Lightfoot out telling her own story as to how she relates to the issue, you know, with her mom being a nurse's aide, being a low-wage worker herself, and how, you know, oppressive scheduling of workers like her mom really resonates with her.
So where are we on this? Because I remember you, as you said, with the last council, there was close to pretty much a negotiated agreement, but that never went through, and I think you were even indicating we're going to go back to where we started on this.
So I wouldn't say that we got to a negotiated agreement. I would say that we had extensive negotiations, and the coalition moving the Fair Work Week moved towards the other side in order to have something that, you know, approached their concerns. I don't know that the other side was ever
going to sign on.
No. And we're back at the table talking about those issues. But yeah, we stepped things back, but we also recast the ordinance in a different way, focusing on industries that we believe need to be covered versus having it wide open and, you know, looking at which places, you know, we needed to work on different sets of rules. So what happened is at the July City Council or the June City Council meeting, we introduced an ordinance, a new ordinance, which was essentially a lot of the place. It included a lot of the ideas of where we landed back in April when we were on the verge of passing it then, but took a what I think was a cleaner, very methodical approach, and I believe addresses a lot of concerns for folks from the business community. But what we need to do is get to July, get this thing passed so we can protect the livelihoods and the predictability of Chicago's working people.
So how would this work under the revised ordinance?
Yeah, so I mean, let's talk about things like predictability pay. So you know, you're giving people 2 weeks notice, right, of what their schedule is, and if you change it within that 2 week time period, how much do you think you'd have to pay it in terms of predictability pay if you change that person's schedule?
I don't know.
Take a wild guess.
Well, no,
come on, Rick, play along with me here.
What
I got up, it's Sunday morning. You come on. You do this every Sunday. This is usually my day to sleep. Two hours. That's the answer to the question. Two hours. That doesn't seem unreasonable, right? Now, if you do it within 24 hours, then it goes up. But you have this whole, you know, it's not some sort of crushing penalty to the employer, But it does encourage, hey, don't screw around with someone's schedule, and let's be thoughtful and give them appropriate time in order to make plans for their family. And let's not jerk them around. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what this ordinance is really about. So many low-wage workers get jerked around on their schedule based on the fickleness sometimes of the employer, not wanting to necessarily, it's like the schedule is it's a concept, right? It's an idea. No, I mean, these are people. I mean, let's think about the golden years, as people like to think of, back in the 1950s and the early 1960s of workplace structure, right? Where people had jobs, they went to work, they knew what their schedules were going to be. Everyone was paid appropriately. We had a strong middle class. And for some reason, over the course of the last how many years, all the things that were institutional norms have gone away, right? And I don't have to tell you that. You're a journalist. A lot of the institutional norms and a lot of those,
there are no institutional norms.
Right, right. And it that usually has to do less with how society, quote unquote, is changing, but more to do with how the folks at the top have decided they want to change it in order to, run the table on everybody else.
We're speaking with Bob Reeder. He's the president of the Chicago Federation of Labor. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Skyline studio, joined by Bob Reeder, the president of the Chicago Federation of Labor. We've been talking about the workplace scheduling ordinance. You're going to do a give back, right?
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of 2 hours of predictability pay, we're going to go to one, because that's what the ordinance actually says. I got a little fired up. Look at how accommodating I am. But you know what?
I love this, because normally the line is, well, we don't negotiate through the media.
Here's what I'm going to tell you, Rick. We have been very accommodating in dealing with people on this issue and listening to them. In fact, there's still a ton of misinformation out there on this ordinance. I'm not going to dive into it, because it's misinformation, and I don't,
we don't want to do fake news.
No fake news. Okay.
We did have a texter, though, who says they're very pro-labor, pro-union, and like the ordinance, but what about restaurant and bars?
Yeah, restaurant and bars. There's provisions on restaurant and bars in terms of whether you're covered by the ordinance. I think it has to do with the amount of employees. I think it's 250 employees. You have to have 250 employees and 30 worldwide locations. So,
talking franchises. Basically.
Yeah, we're basically big franchises. So you're not gonna, it's not like, oh my gosh, I have 300 employees, but if you only have one worldwide location, I don't want to single any business out in case I'm somehow missing something, but there's a popular bar and restaurant over here in River North that is named for a hallowed Chicago White Sox and Chicago Cubs broadcaster, and in terms of worldwide locations, I think at most they have two. So regardless of that, they're not covered, no matter how where you get to on employee headcount in the current version of the ordinance.
So we're expecting action next month?
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's working diligently. I know that the employer community is, raising their concerns, both with us and City Hall. We're still listening to them and trying to see where there's places where we can accommodate or come to some sort of resolution. But yeah, we've waited too long to get this thing done. We were on the precipice of getting it done back in April, and not getting it done in April isn't opening this thing back up and trying to delay something that's important to Chicago's working families.
But you pretty much figure this is going to be a done deal next month.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
And to be fair,
July 26th, I think, is the big city council meeting, right?
And to be fair, we will be having somebody from the employer side on a future show to talk about this.
I'm sure. I'll make sure I listen and call in.
Okay. and negotiate over the media, right? That would be nice. Yeah.
I'm talking to the people through Twitter.
Oh, please stop. Stop. $15 an hour. Moving. Is this about moving the schedule up for that?
Yeah. I mean, here at the end of the day, $15 can't wait. So what we're looking to do, and as you saw, it was introduced a few weeks ago, the $15 minimum wage that we now have statewide is great. We want to have $15 here in Chicago by 2021. And what that would mean is the minimum wage is set to go to $13 July 1st, right, here in Chicago. And then from there, it would move based on CPI and every year. So it's not a guaranteed movement.
Mm-hmm.
And we may not get aligned with the state then until, you know, we get to $15 statewide by 2025.
I believe,
and,
yes.
And here's the thing about this, Rick, is that when we were fighting for 15 back, you know, 6-7 years ago, we were fighting for $15 then, right? And this minimum wage ordinance that the city council passed back during the Emanuel administration all those many years ago, it was good. It was what was politically possible at the time. Having CPI put in there was great. And we didn't beat anybody up for not getting to 15, but we really wanted 15 then. And I believe by not coming to city council back here this last city council meeting and asking for $15 by 2019 or by 2020.
Right.
We're accommodating there too. Because if you look at what the minimum wage should be if indexed for inflation from the 1970s, we blew past $15 a long time ago.
Well, and you know, look what it took for even just on the state level to move that.
Yeah, it's silly to not recognize that if we're going to rebuild this city, we have first of all, labor markets are so tight here in Chicago and all across the country that people are already raising, companies are raising that wage anyway.
Well, I was going to say, because, you know, you hear that argument from the employer side that a tight labor market will drive market forces to do this instead of trying to do it by mandate.
Right, and I agree with them. But the thing is we need to get that floor in there because these people aren't going to pay $15 based on goodwill. And in order to, if you're going to have a consumer-based economy, you have to have consumers. So I agree. Labor markets are tight. Everyone's paying $15 now as it is, and we need to hold them there once we get people to $15 because they're not doing it out of the kindness of their hearts. There's a reason organizations like mine exist, right? We are an organization of unions that, you know, we represent working people, but we're also part of the broader labor movement, and it doesn't hurt to raise standards for everybody because rising tides lift all ships. If we're going to lift up the people who I was talking to someone yesterday, you come downtown, this is a remarkable city. Union workers built the skyline and maintained the skyline. Everyone from the folks in the construction trades to the folks in SEIU who clean and protect these buildings. The arts and entertainment, our musicians who work for the CFSO, we have created a beautiful city, for world-class city for people all over the world to come to. But we also need to build up our neighborhoods. And a lot of the folks who work in low-wage jobs to keep this beautiful city going that aren't part of the labor movement, we need to have it so when they go back home to their community, they have money to spend and we can build the neighborhood economy back up. And we're going to do that by not just raising $15, but we're going to do it through our predictability ordinance on Fair Work Week by giving them more security and making sure that folks understand that taking care of workers, their families, their health, their education, all those things are important to moving this city where it's more inclusive and more economically viable for everyone.
That's Bob Reeder. He's the president of the Chicago Federation of Labor. Bob, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Rick.